Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Fan Show. My name is Jay Mackey, and today, I guess I'm by myself right now. I had a special guest for you guys. Hopefully he calls in. Hopefully we get the technical difficulties worked out. I had a special guest, Darren Hightower, but hey, if you don't pick up, I guess it's just me and you guys tonight. Yo, so we're going to break down, you know, the first week of NFL season. Then we're going to break out Jameis versus Mariota. Also, we're going to talk about the Seahawks. Are they really in trouble? And also, we're going to break down week two. We're going to break down who's going to win, who's going to lose. And also, we're going to talk about the passing of Moses Malone. My co-host, our Vince, is right here with us. Vince, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
Man, I was telling people we had a special guest. My buddy Darren Hightower, but he ain't picked up yet. I guess the technical difficulties are happening on his end. But I thought we were going to break down the first week of the NFL season, Mariota versus Jameis. Are the Seahawks truly in trouble? Week two of the NFL and then the passing of Moses Malone. So, man, let's start off. Vance, man, week one, kind of crazy, man. It was kind of crazy. I thought the numbers were going to be higher because, you know, it's all about the offense now in the NFL, and I thought it was going to be a lot more high-scoring games and a lot more defense than I ever thought it was going to be this season so far. I mean, week one. So you got to give people time to get revved up, get going.
Yeah, you got to get
how you feel about week one so far?
I mean, I feel like it was week one. You know, you got to give the offense time to gel. I mean, the players, I mean, just coming off training camp, they preseason game, they didn't play the whole game. So they you know, really not into it yet, but it's week one, it's time to play. So, you know, I feel like it'll pick up in the coming weeks, you know, maybe by week three, week four, offense will be rolling. Defense looked pretty good this week, but hey, like I said, it's week one, so we'll see from here.
Man, you know who surprised me, man, more than anything, the Chiefs. Alex Smith throwing the ball. Like, and went to Jamal Charles. It was to a tight end. Taking wasn't Jeremy Maclin, but it was somebody else besides Jamal Charles, and it was deep downfield. Okay, over 20 yards. But it wasn't like 40, 50 yards, but they were passing the ball. The Jets looked good, man. The Jets looked really good. And the Bills, Tyrod Taylor, man, he may be the guy that Rex Ryan needs for him to play quarterback to get him over that hump.
Well, you know, Tyrod Taylor, you know, I think he's underrated. I think Tyrod Taylor will be a good quarterback. Coming out of Virginia Tech, I thought he would be. But he got drafted by, I think he went to the Ravens, and he sat behind Flacco. Yeah. But I think if he went to any other team and got some playing time, you'd have seen this out of Tyrod Taylor earlier. But, you know, give him time. I think the Bills will be a good team. They always have good defense. They getting players on offense.
No.
Tyrod Taylor, LeSean McCoy.
I truly thought that him being behind Joe Flacco really helped him. Like, sometimes you need to go to that apprenticeship. And he saw how Joe Cool, a.k.a. Joe Flacco, really handled that situation. Calm quarterback, always at an even keel, not too high, not too low. I think that helped him more than anything. I think that helped him going to the Baltimore Ravens at first. Because now, because people are talking about how calm and collected he is. You know what I'm saying? He saw professionals. He saw Ray Lewis, guys who act professional. Sometimes when you go to a team and you're young and you got to be the guy, you kind of don't know how to be that professional or how to be that great. So you got to learn. And sometimes you got to take that apprenticeship. And he took that apprenticeship. He didn't get mad about it. He learned. And then when he got his opportunity, he cashed in that check. Now he's making it for himself. Because he took those lessons he learned in Baltimore about respecting the game and hard work and studying film. And he took that once he got his opportunity with the Bills. And Rex Ryan appreciated that, man, and saw something in him to say, hey, he's the guy. He's the guy.
I thought he was ready to come out of college. But, you know, sitting behind Flacco playing for the Ravens didn't hurt him at all. And you saw it in week one. Let's just hope he can carry it on through the rest of the season. Let's see how he does before we name him the guy.
Well, I'm not saying he's so much the guy, but he's showing you something. Like, he's not going to turn the ball over. He's going to take off a little bit. I ain't saying he's, you know, the greatest quarterback, he's Joe Montana. I'm just saying that he showed you some things. He stayed cool, calm, and collected. He's not too high, not too low. I respect guys who put in their time. They didn't cry when they were behind a great quarterback, a decent quarterback in Joe Flacco. I don't want to call Joe Flacco great. But, man, he looked good, man. He looked good, man. You know who else looked good? Tom Brady. Tom Brady looked like he about to wreck the league, man. Tom Brady looked like he about to smack everybody that's coming through the Patriots. Whoever we play, whether it's the 72 Dolphins, Tom Brady got a vendetta.
I just think Tom Brady was Tom Brady. I mean, he played his normal game. I mean, you didn't see anything different. He's just Tom Brady. He's one of the best quarterbacks in the league now. I mean, you know, top five, probably number one. But, you know, you just got to see what go on through the year. Do I think that Patriots are going to make the playoffs? You already know they're going to make the playoffs. Do I think they're going to win the Super Bowl? It's too early for all that. You know, people are already named them Super Bowl champs. I just think it's too early for all that. Let's just see how the rest of the AFC play out, and then we'll see in the end.
Man, also, the Falcons. The Falcons beat the Eagles. I thought the Eagles were going to be high-scoring, high-powered week one. I thought they were going to run the worst defense in the NFL last season out the stadium. I just thought the way the Falcons went out the last couple of years, that Monday night belonged to Chip Kelly and his team. And I'll tell you what, the Falcons showed up. The defensive coordinator that used to be the Seahawks defense coordinator, head coach of the Falcons, man, it had something to do with me too. It went all Earl Thomas and Cam Chancellor and Sherman. I had something to do with that defense being great too. And that's all a new head coach wants if you were an assistant. Like, it wasn't all about those players. Like, my scheme, my mind had something to do with that. And they look good, man. Now, I ain't saying they're going to win a division, but I always said that NFC South was probably the worst divisions in Atlanta was fighting. It's only week one, but I mean, they showed me more than they showed me the last 2 years. They showed me a little heart, a little passion.
Well, you know, I look at it like, you know, they played a good game, but I think the Eagles just, you know, you saw the Eagles started slow, so, you know, but in the second half, the Eagles came on, they scored 24 points, so I don't know. The Falcon defense looked okay, but in the first quarter, but in the second quarter, the Eagles showed they do have a high power offense. Even though they didn't get the running game with DeMarco Murray, I think he had like 9 yards rushing. Still, we saw flashes there. I mean, and we saw that Sam Bradford, if he can stay healthy, he is going to be a good quarterback. He didn't have a lot of decent receivers, Jordan Matthews. You know, he got decent running backs, but we'll see. I think the Eagles defense played okay in the second half. They gave up points in the first half. Malcolm Jenkins played really good, coming from the safety spot. He played really good. So we'll just see. We'll just see what they're going to do in the coming weeks.
All right. Now, man, we're going to talk about Mariota versus Jameis. Jameis' first pass, touchdown. But it was an interception for a touchdown, man. It wasn't a touchdown pass. Mariota, I mean, I hate to say week one, people are like, oh, Mariota's the truth. Man, it was week one, man. 4 touchdowns, yeah, that was pretty good. I mean, I think they're both quarterbacks going to be around the state. I think James's team is not as good as we thought it would be. And we all know Tampa Bay. I mean, we had the number one pick. Obviously, you don't have a lot of talent in the cupboard. You don't have a lot of food in the cupboard, so it's kind of bare. So when you get Jameis Winston, it's going to be a process with him. And Mariota, I mean, I still picked the Colts to win in the AFC South. But week one, he looked good. I can't lie. Mariota looked good.
Well, yeah, he looked good. Mariota looked good week one, but let's not just, like I said, just start crying him one of the greatest quarterbacks in the league. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he looked good. He was passing the ball around. I think 8 different receivers. His running game looked all right. Defense, they played good. You know, Jameis Winston had a lot of miscues, but I think in all in all, they're going to come out and, you know, at the end of the year, they're going to be about even on like 1 and 2. Who was the best? I can't say right now. Right now, Mariota looks like he's going to be better, but that was just week one. That was just a small, you know, portion of the season. I wouldn't put too much into it. We'll see. I think Tampa Bay, when they get Mike Evans back, You know, they gonna look better. You know, like you said, they picking one for a reason. So the team obviously wasn't that good last year. So give it a little while. James Winston, he'll write the ship, and they'll be all right.
Yeah. Man, next I want to talk about, man, the Seahawks, man. Cam Chancellor still ain't back. Man, he's about to lose. If he missed week two, he would have lost $2 million. Now, take it, he just want to adjust the money. I mean, that's the rumors coming out. He want to adjust next year's money for some of it and next year's money, the 2018 and 17. There's only, like, maybe almost $1 million, $900,000. But if he missed the next game, it's going to be $2 million. He's lost. Now, I take it. I think at this point now it's just principle. Like, yo, I don't really care about the money. I'm really trying to tell y'all this is what I want. And, man, I don't think Seattle can be without him, man. I'm sorry. I don't think the Seahawks can do anything great without Cam Chancellor.
I mean, I don't know if they can do anything great with or without him. Seahawks have a good defense. I don't even know who takes it. Chance for position, but I know they need him back. You know, like you said, they're trying to, he wants the money adjusted a certain amount and back in this year instead of next year. And I think they should just go on giving the money, just go on restructure his deal.
It's too
if that's
late.
What he wants.
It's
if
too
he,
late. It's too late. It's really too late. I feel like he done lost $2 million technically. I mean, I feel like both sides are like, no, I'm not going to give in. No, no. So,
well, the Seahawks don't have to give in, you know. I mean, well, if you don't mind losing the money, let's just say the Seahawks don't have to give in. Somebody don't give in. Normally, it is the player who gives in because the Seahawks are sitting back, you know. They're still making money, but he's not. So, unless you're hearing something from somebody else, which I don't think anybody is doing, then they're tampering, but you never know. You have the pages out there, so you never know. But we'll see. I think he needs just go and just come on and play. He did his deal a year ago. Now everybody else getting money. I guess he feels left out. But when he did his deal, they didn't have a deal. So he just really, I think he just needs to come on and play and just wait his deal up.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, man, listen, your team needs you. Man, if I'm Seattle, man, you make it work. You literally make it work. You know, you got to pay Cam Chancellor, or you got to figure out a way, or don't find him. Take the way to find him if he does come back, so he don't lose $2 million. Man, we got the technical difficulties done. My buddy Darren Hightower was joining the show today. Darren, what's up, buddy?
Nothing much. What's going on, Ian?
Man, nothing much. Vance is online with you, baby. You got Vance, our special guest. Mr. Hightower.
What's going on,
man?
Nothing
right
now.
What's
going on?
Man, we're just talking about the Seahawks, man. But we about to hear too, man. We about to hear the breakdown week two of the NFL, man. We're gonna start with tomorrow's game, man. You know, this is why I'm gonna get the show in tonight. We normally do it on Tuesdays, but we gave y'all a special taste tonight, and we got a special guest. So, Darren, man, Broncos, Chiefs, CBS.
Who you got?
I
think I have the Broncos. I just don't see Peyton Manning actually having two bad games. Even though he's starting off the season a little rocky, I mean, it's Peyton Manning. He's going to get it together. He always gets it together. But their defense looks phenomenal, though. It looks great. They look good in week one. So what do you guys think?
Well, I think the Chiefs look pretty good. But like you said, Denver, Peyton Manning, you can't count them out. I think that their defense is looking really good. If Peyton Manning can play like Peyton Manning, I think they should come out victorious in this week. What you think, Ian?
Listen, I don't trust Thursday night games. The reason why, because players are so, they got rituals, they got routines, and Thursdays mess up your whole routine. Like, if you used to play in those centers, like, I drive the same way to work. So I don't never know what Tuesday, I don't never know what Thursday game. I really don't, because people's routines are thrown off, and you rush to study film and figure teams out, and you really ain't had enough time within your normal ritual of scheduling to get things done. Now you're cramming. Now you're going to have some lapses. If you look at a lot of Thursday night games, players have had big lapses in games. So, I mean, to me, it's a toss-up. Like, either Peyton Manning show up or Alex Smith look like Joe Montana again, the way he looked against the Texans. Now, I ain't saying that the Broncos ain't going to show up, but I ain't going to say the Chiefs ain't going to show up either. So I really can't tell you because the Chiefs looked so good against Houston Sunday, and I really thought Houston Texans defense was going to be good. You had Clowney, J.J. Watt. I just thought they was going to wreak havoc and stop the run and force Alex Smith to throw the ball. And he did, and he balled.
Yeah, I could see that. I understand where you're coming from with the Thursday night game. I just kind of think that Peyton Manning is mentally locked in to play well that game because I don't think we've ever seen Peyton. I think he's going to throw a pick, maybe one or two, but I think he's going to have about four or five touchdowns tomorrow. Though I think he's going to go off.
The games I don't want to see Sunday are the Raiders versus the Ravens. And Jacksonville versus Miami. Two games I don't want to see. Derek Carr is out for the Raiders. He's out week two. So, I mean, the Ravens are going to have a field day. And the Jaguars, I mean, they're just the Jaguars. I mean, they like the Clippers before they got Blake Griffin and Chris Paul. They were horrible. I mean, I like Blake Bortles. I think Blake Bortles is a really good quarterback. Like, I feel like him and Ryan Tannehill are in the same breath. You know, Tannehill's been around longer. I feel like Blake Bortles got the same type of skill set. But, I mean, he still had that talent. He's got no talent.
What do you think about to get off topic, what do you think about the New England and the Buffalo Bills? I think that's kind of like the game.
I feel like that should be the Monday night game. That should be Monday night or Sunday night game like the Seahawks and Packers, but I feel like Brady's gonna light them up. Like that's what Brady does. Brady's gonna on a tear. Like, listen, I don't want to play Tom Brady right now. I want to play Tom Brady week 8 or 9 when that fire is not as hot. Like he's white hot right now, and he's gonna go 4 or 5 touchdowns on y'all. So if you don't pick Tom Brady in your fantasy team, you're missing out. But I feel like it's going to be a tight game to a degree. I feel like if the Jets don't score early, man, good night, Rex Ryan. This is going to be a 36-10 game.
Well, I think the Bills are going to come out and play pretty good in this game. I think it's a Bills coming out game. They're going to show the league that they're here. And I think that, New England, really going to have a good game, but I think the Jets, I'm picking Rex Ryan. I think the Bills going to come out on top this week. I think that the defense going to show. I think Tyrod Taylor is going to have another decent game. I think McCoy is going to run the ball pretty good. I just see the Bills going in there and winning and taking one from Tom Brady.
Yeah, I agree with
All right, so we're going to go down the list. Instead of talking about all these random teams, we're going to go down the list, and I'm going to say the Monday night game for Monday. All right, so Broncos, Chiefs. Okay. We all decide Broncos. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the consensus. All right. Texans, Panthers.
I don't think the Texans have a well put together offense at this certain point in time to really withstand some of these teams.
The only thing I'm scared about with the Panthers is who are they going to throw the ball to up in Olsen? Who is
Devin Funches? Devin Funches and Jeremiah Cotchery. I know it's crazy, but Cotchery is
best
bet. And that's it. But I got the Panthers, too. I feel like, if you can't choose a quarterback, like Jim O'Brien just stuck with two side chicks. He don't got a main chick. He got Ryan Mallett. I think Ryan Mallett may become a main chick at one point, but he got Ryan Mallett and Brian Hoyer. So, I mean, hey, sometimes side chicks become main chicks, and maybe Ryan Mallett's that guy, but until we can find out. I'm picking the Panthers. 49ers and Steelers, man.
Oh, we got Steelers all day. I take the Steelers.
Man, listen. The 49ers played a horrible Vikings team, so I'm rolling with the Steelers. I feel like the Steelers is a safe bet. Buccaneers, Saints.
Saints.
We're
going to
go with the Saints.
Yeah, man. I
just don't see them stopping New Orleans offense.
Listen, it's a horrible AFC South. I'm a keep ragging on the AFC South. AFC South is like the NFL version of the SEC. I'm just saying. No shade, man. No shade.
that was Mudshag right there, because we know the SEC is the best conference in the country.
Lions and Vikings, man. Lions and Vikings.
Vikings. I'll go with the Vikings for that.
I'm going to go with the Vikings, too. I think the Vikings are going to bounce back. I think Teddy Bridgewater is going to have a decent game. He's going to play pretty good.
Listen, Lions have one of the best defenses in the NFL. Y'all may be picking the Vikings. I may want to bet y'all some money because the Lions show is going to show up and show out.
I kind of think that the blueprint is out on Teddy Bridgewater, though. Like, when you start to blitz him, he crumbles, man. He crumbles in the in the pocket really easily.
Yeah, because I saw a couple of times the tight end slipped out when it was blitzing. He should have threw the ball to check down to the tight end, but he just took the sack. So, yeah, I kind of see what you're saying, but I still think the Vikings going to win, bounce back and win this game against the Lions this week.
No, Cardinals Bears, man. Jay Cutler, Mr. INT himself, versus Carson Palmer. Oh, the old heads. I call it the old head game.
That's kind of hard for me. I want to pick the Bears, but the Cardinals' offense is pretty good, so I'm going to roll with the Cardinals.
Man, listen, I'm rolling with no fly zone. Shout out to the Cardinals, man, no fly zone.
I agree with the Cardinals.
Yeah, Patriots and Bills, I think we all said the Patriots earlier. Chargers and Bengals. Man.
Hold on, back. I said the Bills.
Oh, Vance, you got the Bills. You got the Bills. So 2-1, consensus Patriots. Bengals, Chargers, man.
It's a tough one. I think I'm going to go with the Bengals. Just because the defense plays so good.
I think I'm alone with the Chargers, man. Man, listen. Phillip Rivers, man. Cocky, arrogant, boisterous guy. I like him too much. I hate betting against a guy like that.
Cocky and arrogant don't win you the games, though. You know, he still got the score.
Hey, listen. His swag carries him full point.
I agree with Ian on that. I definitely agree with Ian on that. Phillip Rivers always comes to play, man. And whether you don't like him or not, man, he always produces, not like your Tony Romos of the world and choking sometimes.
Oh.
Even though Romo had a great that late night Sunday game, he played awesome. But
it was just a depleted Giants secondary. Let's not rehash that.
I'm not a Tony Romo fan, but you know, since 2006, Tony Romo has had more comebacks than any quarterback in the league, and that's saying something. So, I'm not a Dallas fan. I really can't stand him. But Tony Romo, he's all right, though.
Yeah.
Titans Brown. I don't even want to watch this game, but I feel like Mariota is going to show Johnny Manziel what he's really made of.
I think so, man. That's going to be pretty dope. I think that's going to be a pretty good game, also. I think a lot better than
Brown's got some. Brown's got some good defense, though. That's one thing I will say. Brown's got some really solid defense.
I think just the game, Mariota coming back down to earth. Week 2. I think he coming back down to earth. I think the Browns win in a close one.
All right. Falcons,
what do you think about Johnny Manziel?
I think Johnny going to play decent. I don't think he's going to, you know, have no astronomical numbers, but I think he's going to play decent enough for them to win the game.
Okay.
All right, man. Let's hit 4. Forget Johnny. Falcons-Giants, man. Falcons-Giants. Julio Jones versus that Giant secondary.
I'm gonna roll with the Giants. I think they had. I know what you're saying. The Atlanta offense, you know, with Julio Jones running away, gonna have all these passing yards. But I think the Giants just gonna come out on top some kind of way. Don't ask me how they gonna win. They just gonna win. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that may be from you being a Giants fan. But, all right, Rams, Redskins. I'm a Redskins fan, but guess what? The Rams are going to kick their ass. Excuse my friend. They're going to kick their ass Sunday.
I agree. I think I go with the Rams also.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with the Rams. I hope Redskins lose every game this year. I'm sorry.
Dolphins Chargers, man. Ryan Tannehill, Lamar Miller, Kenny Stills. Don't put on a show in Jacksonville.
I mean, I take the Dolphins, but you stole on Ryan Tannehill. I'm not. You stole on Baby Boyles. I think, yeah, they about the same. I don't really think they, you know, I think they have side chicks, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah, I take the Dolphins.
Yeah, I roll with the Dolphins also, man. I think they're actually going to have a semi-decent season this year.
Listen, they may be
9-7.
It's gonna be three tough teams in that division. Three tough teams, man. Three. And all of them are built to play the Patriots. All of them are built defensively. All those teams are built defensively. Like if you look at every team outside of the Patriots in that AFC East, the Jets, they're built defensively. The Bills, they're built defensively. Dolphins, they're built defensively. Like, Dolphins may have a little more offense than all the other teams, but everybody's built to try to take down the Vaughn Patriots. So, you know, outside of that, you know, I'm just shouting out to that whole division. I think that's a really good division. Ravens. No Derek Carr. Ravens defense versus no Derek Carr Raiders. And we ain't talking about Al Davis Raiders. We talking about the current day Raiders.
You ain't have to ask me. We
know right. Cowboys Eagles, man. DeMarco Murray playing his former team for the first time.
I think that he was gonna win this game. I think in the vet, you know, they're playing in Philadelphia. I think DeMarco Murray gonna have a decent game against his old team. Decent offensive line he running behind. He didn't run the ball well in week one, but I think he'll play pretty good this game. I'll take the Eagles.
Yeah, I'll also go with the Eagles. I think the wide receiver for the Cowboys being hurt, I think he's actually – that's going to hurt them a lot. And, I mean, they just picked up a free agent, but, I mean, it's nobody compared to him. So, I mean, I think the Eagles are going to pull it out fairly easily.
All right, Sunday night game, Seahawks, Packers. No Cam Chancellor. Wait, who y'all got? Man, I got the Packers.
I think the NFC champ's going to be 0-2 this week after they play the Packers. I just don't see them beating the Packers. I see the Packers winning the game.
I mean, I feel like they're going to have a Super Bowl hangover all year.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I definitely threw the Packers in this game. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to – I've never seen somebody throw on Sherman and Sherman just not even be able to do anything. So I think Aaron Rodgers is going to pick apart that secondary and just go to work. Packers all day.
Mm-hmm. Man, last game, I don't like the last game. I thought the NFL schedule was horrible. I thought that the Cowboys-Eagles should have been the Monday night game. But when they scheduled it, I think they scheduled it just for Andrew Luck. So they could say this is his comeback party. This is his thing. So Jets, this is coming out party. This is the Jets versus the Colts. You know, everybody probably thought the Jets was going to suck week one, but they end up winning that game. They look good defensively. Their offense didn't look half bad with Ryan Fitzpatrick. But, I got the Colts winning this game. They don't stink up the joint two games in a row. They don't stink two plays in a row.
Yeah, I got the Colts winning this game too. I don't think the Jets offense is going to play good at all this game, even though the Colts defense is not that great. But Ryan Fitzpatrick, I'm not sold on him. Never was, never will be. So, yeah, I think the Colts will win this game.
But if the Colts don't stop the run and Chris Ivory gets going, long night for you, Indianapolis.
I think once Andrew Luck actually figures out the defense, I think he's going to pick them apart fairly easy. At the end of the fourth quarter, he figured out the defense of the Bills finally. I mean, they almost pulled it off. But, I mean, it's just really all up to Andrew Luck. It's crazy to say that, but – once he gets it figured out, it's like the offense gets rolling. So I go with the Colts, though. I think it's going to be a fairly interesting game.
All right. Yeah. All right, man. Now, that was all NFL I can do, man. Now we're going to get back to basketball. yo, we had a great player die or pass away. Moses Malone. Moses Malone died then at age 60, born March 23rd, 1955, drafted by the Utah Stars. They used to call him the chairman of the board. His ABA and NBA career average was 20, 12, and 1 assist. Three-time MVP, one-time finals MVP, only won one ring, 12-time All-Star. Yo, may God bless his soul, man. May he rest in heaven. Moses Malone, man. My dad used to say all these great things. First player ever come out of high school. He changed the whole dynamic. If you were good enough to play in high school and you considered one of the best players in the country, he went straight to the pros. He proved everybody wrong. And then he actually showed that a high school player can play in the NBA. Now, high school players in football can't play in the NFL. But high school, if you're really, really good, and I mean like one of the best, like he was physically the 6'10", he like 240, like the guy was a monster, just a monster on the boards. That's what they call him, chairman of the boards. So he was just a dynamic player, and he changed the game. He changed the game for all the young players who played in high school. Kind of messed it up, too. People say he messed it up coming out of high school because now everybody tried to come out of high school at one point. And to a degree, he did, but he showed that high school players can play NBA basketball. So, you know, what are y'all thoughts on Moses Malone, man, chairman of the boards, played for the St. Louis Spirits and Philadelphia. He played for a lot of teams, man. He played to like 94, 95. He played a span of three decades from 1974 to 1994. That's three decades. That's just three decades, bro.
Well, I think today's generation are sleeping on players like Moses Malone because, you know, if you didn't see him play, you really don't know what kind of player he was. We can go back and even us, we didn't really see Moses Malone. I saw him a little bit, but I ain't seen him that much. But they're sleeping on Moses Malone because he was one of the best centers, all-time great centers in the NBA. And I think that, you know, you do a little research, go back and look at a couple of his tapes, see how he played when he was in Atlanta, when he was in Philadelphia. He was a really good player. And I think that, you know, big man in the NBA has faded away. And I think they need to get back to a player like Moses Malone. I think your game would be a little bit better if they had a player like Moses Malone today. What you think, Darren?
I absolutely agree. I know Moses Malone's from the Petersburg, Virginia area out east. He also played a couple seasons in the ABA. I mean, that's way before my time, but I have been able to actually catch a couple games on, like, NBA TV, things of that nature, you know what I mean? Just checking him out, just wanted to see what he's actually about. And I mean, he could rebound with the greats. I'm talking like Dennis Rodman. And I mean, if any other young players could actually get to see him, I would definitely want them to look at him. And I mean, some people need to really idolize their games after him because, I mean, he was a great rebounder, big man on the block. I mean, it's really what the game is missing right now.
Listen, they call this man chairman of the boards. I mean, obviously he can rebound. I mean, but he really changed the game. Not basketball speaking, he, from high school to the pros, he completely changed the game. Garnett, I mean, everybody didn't start coming after him, but he opened the door. And sometimes someone has to be the first one to go through it in order for everybody else to come through it. And he got a lot of flack for it, but if you see, he had a long career. He actually showed people, hey, I could truly play this game. And some people don't last in the NBA 3 years, let alone three decades, spanning three decades from the 70s to the 80s. He's seen every era in basketball. He's seen the Jerry West to the Magic Johnson to the early Michael Jordan age of basketball. He's seen every great era, and I don't think we did enough to, like, pick his brain or discuss on basketball in general, pick his brain and discuss what went on back then in the first decade, the second decade, and the third one, like, the phases in his mind in that career. Like, none of that's appreciated. And what we need to do now more in sports anyway is those people who came before us, the Moses Malone, the George Gervins, like, you need to pick their brains more. Like, those are the people in basketball because we need those guys, like, because the game's getting watered down with AAU and Nike camps and all that. They're everybody's friends now. Like, even on the court, they're smiling and giggling and talking like they're buddies. And you're supposed to be at war with these guys. We can be friends after the game. But, man, the game has changed. As people say, the game has changed. The game
so
ain't the game anymore.
Go ahead, Dan.
Oh, go ahead, Arvin. So I was about to switch off topic briefly, but go ahead, Arvin.
Oh, I think, you know, even though these players are counting buddy-buddy, you still want to beat your buddy. I mean, I don't like that everybody's so friendly, but, you know, you still want to beat him. LeBron wants to beat Carmelo. Carmelo wants to beat LeBron. Everybody wants to beat Kobe Bryant, you know. So I think that, you know, he has Moses Malone. In Moses Malone era, you know, they didn't have the AU and they didn't have all this where players get together, you know, coming out of high school and know each other, so you don't have no ties to them. But I think that, you know, still you want to beat these guys. The only thing I say is they need to be more back-to-the-back basketball players, players who know how to play in the post. And we have gotten away from players like Moses Malone to players like Dwight Howard, who can post up, who has the body for it, who really should have an inside game. But, go ahead, Dan.
Okay, just play off of the competitiveness of everything. Like, how do y'all feel about the actual rule change, like with everything going on in the NBA right now with the rule change where, like, if you guys haven't heard the rule, it's pretty much now the teams with the best actual record are now making it. It's no longer Eastern and Western conferences now. It's just the best records make it. How do y'all feel about that now? Do you think
No. But they didn't change the rule. They said division records don't matter. The division records don't matter. So
okay.
Let's say if you won your division, you don't necessarily get that fourth pick. Like before, you still make the playoffs, but you don't get that fourth spot. Like the 1, 2, 3, 4 spots belong to those division winners.
Okay, I wasn't ready. I thought they changed it just to record now. Okay.
No, it's just you don't division. Like, remember the Portland had a horrible record against the Spurs, but they won their division, so they got the fourth spot. So they dropped the Spurs.
Okay.
It plays a part. It plays a part, and it was the best move they can make. I always liked that rule. I hated that you won your division regardless of your record. I feel like you still make the playoffs because you don't deserve that fourth spot.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, Adam Silver has done a great job to this point with the NBA. Like, he gets it. I mean, I miss hand checking. I miss the illegal defense. I hate zone defense. You know, I miss the illegal defense that if you're playing zone, illegal defense, other teams get some free throws. I hate that you can play 2-3 and do whatever you want to do now in the NBA. Right? You can't. It's okay without guarding your man anymore. That's all right if you can't guard your man. We'll hide you on defense. But game has changed. As people would say in The Wire, that Omar Nunn, the game is the game. Nah, brother, the game ain't the game no more. The game ain't the game no more.
Yeah,
but, man, hey,
that.
Fellas. Great show tonight, Darren. Man, special guest. We appreciate you, even though you were late to the party. But, you know.
Yeah, thanks, Darren, for showing up.
Man, I appreciate y'all having me, man. Try to get on here a couple more times, man.
Man, don't show up late to the party. I know you got to make your grand entrance, man, but don't show up late to the party, man. The party start on time, brother.
I understand, man. I understand it. All right, man. See you guys.
All right, man. Shout out to all the fiends out there, man. Hit the follow button, follow the show, man. Follow Darren Hightower on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can find the guy. He's throwing up his little cap of signs. He's shimmying out there, man. Follow him. Vance don't have a Twitter yet, man. I'm working on him. Vance don't have none of that. None of that. But follow me, Song You, Ian Sports Mind, man. Peace and love.
Till next time.